vacant, the principal of the BBC Research College, Professor Jimmy Edwards, announces a vacancy for a senior lecturer. Applicants must have 2 honors degrees, willingness to work a 72-hour week, and ability to speak French, Spanish, German, Dutch, and Lithuanian dialects. Salary, £3.05 a week. Please reply to Box 4B, Palace Theatre, Baker Street, London.
Take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Half an hour of laughter beckons every minute, back with seconds.
For the next 30 minutes, it's Take It From Here. With Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Jimmy Edwards. Other words and music will be heard from Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes. And we have the augmented BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Robert Busby. So if you're receiving us loud and clear...
Dear Jimmy, just a letter from your old pal Dick to let you know that since you became principal of the BBC Research College... I, too, have taken up work in a new field. I have now left the field. As the farmer says, the crows have all flown south for the winter. However, when I took my shoe off last night, I came across your advertisement on a bit of newspaper. It was somewhat difficult to read as the pavements were wet yesterday, but this is to let you know that I myself am willing to take up the position of senior lecturer if it helps you, Jimmy, old pal. If it is true that we are being watched by another world, I think we humans should stick together. Must close now, as I have taken a temporary job in a stable, and the work is piling up. Please give my regards to Joy.
Regards to Joy, and tell her I got liver this week. Yours faithfully, Richard Makepeace Bentley, Buffalo Patrol. Well, Joy, what do you make of that letter?
Timmy, I think Dick is down on his luck. He was hit pretty hard, you know, when you decided to go off on your own.
Oh.
He's a strange type. They all say he often takes little things to heart.
Joy, Mr. Hart is his pawnbroker. You're not implying that Bentley is in straitened circumstances.
Well, I think he's in a bad way. He's even walking around in a borrowed overcoat. He feels terribly conspicuous.
I don't see why.
Well, it's one of mine. Oh, Jimmy, give him the job of senior lecturer.
But, Joy, these top BBC administrative jobs are highly sought after. Look at when they advertised for a successor to Sir Adrian Bolt. Why, the postcard hadn't been in the tobacconist's window for 5 minutes when hundreds of people were...
Oh, Jimmy,
in.
I know that. But Dick's up against it. He's got no savings. He's had to leave his flat. He's sleeping at the YWCA. Not that he's complaining.
I should think not. But I can't possibly give the job to Bentley. It would look like favoritism. People would start talking about jobs for the boys.
Oh, no. It's a bit more than a job.
And he's a bit more than a boy. No, Joy. Come in.
Pardon the interruption, Professor. Miss Gladys Young to see you.
Gladys Young, nothing. It's me. I'm returning Joy's overcoat. Here you are, Joy, and thank you. What are you doing up here now?
I'm Jimmy's associate. I've been co-opted.
Really? Well, don't forget your divvy.
Oh, what?
Bentley's back, eh, Jimmy? Having me around is like old times, eh?
Yes, positively medieval. Well, Bentley, I've had your letter.
Then you know exactly my position. I think you'll find that letter covers everything. I omitted nothing.
Except the stamp. Now, Bentley, it's rather difficult. Let me make my position quite clear. It's absolutely impossible for me to take you on here. People would say that I'm doing favors for old friends. I must be above suspicion. I am like Caesar's wife.
Are you? No wonder Caesar was away so often. Well, Jimmy, I think that's a pretty rotten attitude considering that I...
Oh, no, Dick. Now, look at Jimmy's angle. What? He has got a responsible job. He's in a delicate position. And on all sides, he's got to fight suspicion of his motive. You've never faced that.
No? What do you think it's like staying at the YWCA? All right, Mr. High and Mighty Edwards. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction after you've got this job, despite what people have said, and against all the advice of my friends, and my friends are real friends, and there's enough of them, not counting those I've helped, without wanting any thanks, and I haven't...
was I talking about?
I think you turned left at the wrong comma, Dick. Now, don't get worked up. No. Just look at the staff list up here. Look at the qualifications these men have. See this one. Mr. Bronzeby Peach, member of the Royal College of Organists.
But what's he?
Chef. Then there's this one, Arnold Newington Stoke, honors degree in modern history and lecturer at London School of Economics.
What does he do?
Plays the organ. Everybody here has some degree or decoration.
Even the boiler man. Why, look, I've just noticed this myself. You see, even he has a distinguished military record. Look what it says, boiler man. He's got the MC, he's TA, he's a VIS. Oh, I've got an H left over. Oh, no, that's his name, McTavish.
Oh, degrees. All right. I may not have gone through the higher formalities of education, such as going to school. But, yes, I've won my degree in the School of Life. Not highbrows and dons, but ordinary, decent people in the street take it for granted that I am a Bachelor of Physics.
Oh, hang on, Dick. Nobody's ever thought you were a Bachelor of Physics.
No? Then why is it I get my letters addressed Dick Bentley, B.F.? Well?
Dick, rather than give you the answer, I think we'll give you the job. Jimmy, surely we can take Dick on for a trial period. Mm-hmm. You can justify it somehow. He may not be a lecturer, but he's certainly senior.
Oh, very well, but it's most irregular. All right, Bentley, then I'll swear you in. Now stand up, please. Yes. Now, face Portland Place. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
I also smoke. But I will not do either of these things on the air.
Yes. On the air.
I promise... Oh, here, you read it.
Yes. I promise to help others at all times and leave the washroom as I would wish to find it. If ever I am the fault of these covenants, may I undergo the ceremonial indignity of being reviewed by the critics on Sunday morning.
Now, if you'll just kiss me, we'll go into the vestry and sign it.
Oh, Dick, I'm so glad. Now you're one of us. The three of us are together again. Oh, this is wonderful. We must spread the news. I know, Jimmy, get Wallace in. He'll be pleased.
Very well. Oh, Wall! Ah, there you are. Wall, something has happened, and I want you to be the first to know.
No. Oh, Jim, you've done it. You've got engaged. Oh, Jim, your mum will be so pleased. How she's prayed for the day when her boy would find a wife and settle down to a life of domestic bliss. Let's hear the details, Jim. Who is it? Whose sparkling eyes have crept into the lonely places of your heart?
Wallace, I'm talking about Bentley.
Him? If he's crept, he can creep out again. Oh, Jim boy, I thought I was on to something that would cheer your mum. It's her ambition to have a grandchild before she goes to meet your poor Uncle Fred. It may only be a few years.
Oh, Wallace, why do you say that?
He's getting a remission for good conduct. Jim, why don't you cast your eye on Maggie Ellis?
Hmm?
Now, there's a woman any man would be proud of. Well set up, with flashing eyes, nice plump arms, and a piano what's never been played.
Is she Jimmy's type?
Oh, she's class. She was going a bit white, but she looks lovely now she's had a blue rinse.
Oh, that always looks elegant. Did she have the blue rinse at a hairdresser?
No, at home. Stuck her bonce in a bucket of ink. Oh, Maggie's a real catch. She's got that air of remote sophistication. Now, how many ladies do you know who could still retain their savoir-faire lying full-length in a 4L bar? Name one!
Well, I can't. You've set a very high standard.
Only the best for Jim. Maggie's the sort of woman who can go anywhere.
Is she open to suggestions?
All right, turn your nose up. I still say marriage does something to a man. I think any man who stays single nowadays is nothing more nor less than a Bachelor of Physics. So my advice is, take the plunge, Jim Edwards.
Jim Edwards. sing, Lord, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those hours of gladness gone, to last like a youth too soon.
When the boys began to gather in the glen of the summer night,
and the favorite piper's tuning
made us long with wild delight. Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it fills my heart with tears. Oh, the days of the carry dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those hours of gladness gone, alas, like our youth too soon.
Loving voices of old companions stealing out of the past once more, and the sound of the dear old music, soft and sweet as in days of yore.
When the boys began to gather in the glen of a summer night,
and the carry piper's tuning
made us long with wild delight. Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it, fills my heart with tears. Oh, the sound of the carry dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those stars of gladness gone, the last like our youth too soon. Oh, the sound of the carry dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those stars of gladness gone, the last like our youth too soon.
Quiet everywhere now, quiet now, please. Now then, members of the student body and teaching staff of the BBC Research College, I have gathered you all here in the Great Hall to announce that there's a fellow asleep in the front row there. You behind him. Tap him on the head with your ruler. Go on, wake him up, hit him hard. Oh, not that hard. You better run for the matron. Oh, don't look so worried. I'll square it with the coroner. Now, gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce two new members of our staff, Miss Joy Nichols and Mr. Richard Bentley. I said, Mr. Richard Bentley. Bentley, would you show yourself?
Certainly. Here I am. Thank you. There, Joy, I knew it would make a difference when they saw me.
Yes, what a good idea to wrap yourself in that United Nations flag. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bentley and I are very proud to be associated with the fine work you are doing here.
And I would like to add that I am completely at the service of the students, particularly the female ones. If any of you girls have any problems, I hope you'll come and see me for 2 hours every evening in the room labeled Staff Loving Room.
Bentley, that's really living.
I'll say it is.
All right, now, settle down, then. I now call on Dee Dunhill to furnish a report about the projects on which the college is at present engaged.
Well, sir, the famous American news magazine printed a big story recently about the BBC, in which it pointed out that the Radio Times has the second largest circulation of any paper in the world. The largest circulation belongs to that British Sunday newspaper, which specializes in reporting, shall we say, unusual court cases.
Wacko!
Therefore, sir, the college suggests, sir, that the Radio Times could also increase circulation if it set out its programs with headlines similar to those of the Sunday paper, perhaps like this.
Famous star stays out all night.
Fred Hoyle discusses the night sky.
He gave me money, declared 74-year-old woman.
Have a go, visits the old lady's home.
Incident in sand pit, pole held.
Raymond Glendening describes the finals of the pole vaulting championship.
Elderly professor in bushes, story of lark in Epping Forest.
Dr. Ludwig Koch records his bird song of the month. And talking of Ludwig Koch, sir, brings us to the work of the recording unit. They've decided that instead of recording bird songs of the month, it would be more interesting to record some of the human voices of the month in their different species. In charge is Mr. Cyril Fish.
The first cry I have was recorded late one frosty night. It is the well-known cry of a man entering a cold bed. Or, as we scientists call him, the frozen-footed goose pimpler. This cry is usually heard when the laundry's come back and the sheets are fresh. It goes like this.
Like a perishing iceberg. Where's me bags?
The next cry I recorded was the nightmare song of the late night cheese eater, or Burpus interruptus. This species is found lurking in tangled bedclothes, usually flat on his back, with wide open mouth and rattling tonsils.
No! Get out! Quick, Jock Snowy, in here!
Finally, I recorded the early morning cry of the incurable chain smoker, or yellow-fingered short breath. He is to be found where the dog ends grow thickest, and upon waking up in the morning, gives tongue in this way.
Where's me bag?
Before I give my answer, I must know. Will you treat me in the style to which I'm accustomed if I agree to be your loving spouse? For my training has been gentle in a manner continental, so you'll have to get them goats out of the house. Will you stay the same old way to which I'm accustomed, fastidious as only you can be? For there's not the slightest doubt you have a certain air about you, especially when you wear that DDT. Anything plebeian is like Greek to me. My background has been one of great eclat, so you'd better watch your grammar when you speak to me. Just remember, it is I to whom you're speaking at. Will you treat me in a style to which I'm accustomed? Remain the same old Casanova type. For I never knew what bliss is till you thrilled me with your kisses. But I wish you'd try it once without your pipe. The years I spent in Paris were so gay to me. The language is my special pride and joy. So if you should say parlez-vous français to me, you may think that I'm a lady if I answer oi. Will you treat me in a style to which I'm accustomed? For wealth is really all I've ever known. Yes, my life was milk and honey. We had barrels full of money, 'cause my father used to always print his own. And when the cops got farther, he whispered with a smile, "Get someone to keep you, to keep you in your customary style.
Today, the branch of the BBC Research College known as Combined Liaison on Topical Subjects, or CLOTS, essays another controversial feature, juvenile delinquency.
A problem of our time. Why is it that juvenile delinquency so rarely occurs among people over 45?
What is wrong with the youth of today?
I'll tell you what's wrong. It's a general lowering of ethical standards. Football pools, the money-for-nothing complex, gambling. In my opinion, no decent, self-respecting person should have anything to do with gambling in any shape or form.
I rather think you're wrong,
then. I'll lay you 6-4, I'm right.
There is your problem. Delinquency. We've had some suggested causes, but what are the deterrents? What do the police say? Sergeant, may I have your statement?
Sir, as I was proceeding along Grazing Road, I noticed you lying flat on the pavement outside a notorious...
No, Sergeant, not that. I mean delinquency.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Now, the only cure is to inoculate a healthy respect for the law. That blue lamp up there is a symbol of the guardianship the constabulary old pro bono public. That kid there, gazing at it, he realizes that while it shines, the full majesty of the... Hey, you! Put that brick down!
Let me tell you my case. I never had a chance. I was an only child. So were my brothers and sisters. We come from a tough neighborhood. Round where I live, they're so tough even the canaries sing bass. That's where I began. I ask you, what chance have I had?
I was the magistrate who dealt with this boy, whom, in accordance with the rules of juvenile courts, I shall refer to simply as Tom. After all, it would be rather silly to call him Ethel. I don't know, though. I shall not forget Tom if I live to be 100. Which would bring me up to the age of so many magistrates. Perhaps you are unaware of the people who are present at a juvenile court.
I am his mother.
I am his employer.
I am a welfare worker.
I am his schoolmaster.
I am Robert Busby.
What are you doing here?
I was summoned. I parked my yellow van near a car.
Well, you should be upstairs in the big boys. Now, clerk of the court, what is the first name on my calendar?
January.
Don't be facetious! I'll give you. You'll get me gavel round your ears in a minute. Look at me desk, complete choss. Now, let's get cracking. Who is that dear old thing who looks as though she's combed her hair with an egg whisk?
Sir, I am Tom's mum. Sir, be kind to him. All he done wrong was rob a bank, beat up 3 policemen, burn down the almshouses, and steal a couple of lorries. Oh, don't send him to prison, sir. You'll only make a criminal out of him.
Well done, dear. Well, now then, bring the boy here. All right, madam, you may step down. And keep your hands out of the poor box, will you? Now then, let's look at you. I want you to regard me as your friend. I'm going to ask you to let me help you. I want you to come to my house once or twice a week, and we'll try and get you interested in some real manly games. Would you like that?
Oh, I'd love it, sir.
Not you, Lana. I'm talking to the boy, this one, all brilliantine and pimples.
I never had a chance. I'm one of the underprivileged, I am. All I wanted was money for food and drink.
What do you mean, food and drink? You used the money to take a blonde out.
That's food and drink to me. What chance have I got? It's a system, what's wrong? Rotten, decadent system that lets a boy go hungry for one blonde.
While in South America, they're tipping thousands of blondes into the sea just to keep the prices up.
Come now, you've got to face up to things. Hasn't your father helped you?
Don't you say a word against my dad. He's all right. He pulled himself out of his background. He's a respected man. He's second ambassador from the left.
Second ambassador from the left?
He's in the chorus of King's Rhapsody. Gov, give me a chance, Gov. Let me do some work, something of national importance. Something where I'm helping this great country of ours into prosperity. Like checking football coupons.
Oh, yes, give him a chance, sir. It's bad company what's put him where he is now. He's never been the same since he started running around with the Fabian Society.
The Fabian Society?
Yes, Bert Fabian's gang. They call him the Stratton Mob. Oh, let him join one of the services. The Natural Health Service is highly spoken of in the advertisement.
Well, this is interesting. There's more to this boy than meets the eye. Mind you, what meets the eye is pretty ghastly. All right, discharge conditionally. Next case.
Rex versus Robert Bugbear.
I did my best to go straight. I got a good job. I worked in a railway buffet, painting lipstick smudges on the teacups. Soon, I got promotion. They made me the official who keeps the fire out in the waiting room. First, I was all right. Whenever the magistrate caught a checkup, I could hold my head high in the air.
I see, Tom, that's a good trick. He ought to go on the horn. Good evening, Mrs. Tom. I just thought I'd call in. I happen to be passing on my way to the dogs. Recognized your house by the old fence outside.
Oh, yes, that's Charlie. He's always hanging round. Oh, sir, I'm afraid the place is a mess. Tom, help me clear up. Push your father further under the table. Offer the gentleman a glass of something.
We've only got Epsom salts. But you're more than welcome, sir.
Not before sundown, thank you. Well, Tom, are you behaving yourself?
Oh, he's a good boy now, sir. Brings home the wages every week.
All the wages, Tom?
As many as I can get. The foreman's got a zip on his pocket.
Tom, I'm glad my trust has not been misplaced. Well, I must be going. A tempus fugit, as my French master used to say. What is the time? I was curious. I could have sworn I had my gold watch when I came in.
Nah. Ain't you going to stay and watch the television, sir? We got a smashing new set.
Ain't it a nice one, sir? Straight out the window in the high street. Look, I can show you where the brick hit it.
No, I must be on my way. Tom, I am very pleased with you. In fact, so pleased, I am going to give you a 10-shilling note to spend.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But, Tom, don't let these 10 shillings go to your head. Remember, money cannot buy you respect. Money cannot buy you friends. Money cannot buy you happiness.
Just give me the 10, Bob. I'll do my own shopping.
Here you are, then, Tom. Curious. Where's my wallet? I could have sworn it was in my left-hand pocket.
No, it was in the back pocket. Goodbye, sir. Thanks for everything.
I was well content as I walked away from this mean street towards the cultural seclusion of the White City. I mused. Tom's case could act as a detergent to others. So, to all you... Let me give you this guiding principle. If you are under 17, if you are under 17 and you are in doubt, there is only one thing to do. Twist.
Robert Busby and the Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn in the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week, and...